I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, if you will. Let me read it to you. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, for they will be filled or be satisfied. Let's pray together. Let's bow. Would you tell the Father that you love him today from your heart to his heart? As we gather to worship, and we have worshiped, but we continue to tell him of our love for him. Psalm 18:1, the psalmist writes, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. And then let your prayer move to being grateful and thankful. What the Lord has shown you, how he's led you through, how he's revealed himself to you, that he is with you. Give thanks. Then we pray for other people who overlap into our life. People are grieving. They've lost loved ones. There are those who diagnosed with a disease, or they have seasonal illnesses. There are those who are needing spiritual direction, need to be saved. There are those who need help with just the mental load that they're taking, the emotional load that they have. There are those who need guidance, financial guidance. There are those who need just Christian friend truth tellers in their life. Lift these people up. Give them to our Heavenly Father. And we pray for others, but we also pray for the nations. Don't quit. Your prayers matter. There are people all over the world that meet day and night and pray for the peace of God in our world. So just pray for the outbreaks of any kind of a turmoil, uneasiness that's going on in our world, Middle East, Russia, Ukraine, the reformation that's going on in Venezuela, even the persecution of Christians in Nigeria and Syria. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's a lot to pray for. God has moved. He's shown us in his word and biblical history and recent history. He swept nations. He can, and you must believe that he can. Pray for our nation, that our hearts would come back to him again. Our eyes are fixed on him. Our hearts are loyal to him. Recently, another outbreak of a revival in a university in Florida, Southeast University in actually, I pay attention to this university because there's a local boy here, Jacob Russell, who's now the football coach there. And as I've been following him, they've been talking, it's basically another Asbury that's breaking out there on that campus. Let the revival fires burn, you know. Sometimes we want it to happen through our sermon. We want it to happen through our church or denomination. I just want it to happen. And we pray that our hearts would turn back to the Lord. Eyes fixed, hearts loyal on him. Pray a blessing over those who are around you today. I'm talking about the seats that are around you, even if you don't know them. Pray a blessing over Jordan and Hadley today, and Josie, as we witnessed and celebrated in their baptisms. Pray over your family, a blessing over them wherever they may be. Pray a blessing over your church, the offering that we've taken electronically, or you brought it to the storehouse. We exist. We're not a company. We're not a business. We're a church. We give life. And we exist to tell the gospel story every day of our existence. And ask the Lord to bless your offering today. And then more than that, there's a greater offering than your money, and that's you. We offer ourselves to the Lord to use us for his glory, for his kingdom. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. You look at all of us today, Lord, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and your preacher. On me is a greater judgment than anybody in this room has or anybody in this room can put on me. There's a greater judgment from you, and I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. We're using Matthew 5, 6 to help with our Lent prep, which is coming up soon, just in a few days. And using that we hunger and thirst after righteousness, after a life that's in rhythm with his. So I don't want you to think there's something super spiritual about the word Lent. There isn't. It just means 40. That's all it does. And yes, we do practice a Christian version of Lent. And we take it from Matthew 6 and the Lord's teaching and preaching here in Matthew 6. So the use of 40 in the word Lent is just a parallel to where Jesus is in the wilderness. And he's there for those 40 days and nights, and then he's tempted by the enemy. So this Lent season, this focus that we have begins this Wednesday night. It begins on February the 18th. It's called Ash Wednesday. And what we do is we take the palm branches from last Easter, and we save them, and we burn them. And because it's a cleansing for us. It represents of God taking beauty from ashes. And it represents the fact that we mix it with anointing oil. And it's got this little black charcoal color to it and feel and texture to it. And so on Wednesday night, we're going to have a service here. And it's going to be a service. The team's going to be here, the praise team. There's going to be a little or long sermon, depending on who I look at while I'm preaching. Just seeing if you're listening is all. And then we'll have a marking service. We'll have several stations. We won't just have one. We'll have several in the altar. And you come and we mark you with the sign of the cross on your forehead. And it really is a blessing. We mentioned over you the Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. And it becomes a season of repentance of what do I need to get rid of in my life that's not pleasing to the Lord? And then what do I need to welcome in that's of him? We'll get to that in just a moment. But it's not going to be just a marking like we've done in the past. It's going to be a service. It's going to be on repentance. And then we'll do the marking and the blessing over you. So this is what happens during Lent is we're practicing generosity. We're practicing just blessing people. We are practicing of prayer and devotion, adding those things to your life. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then we're also adding fasting. So the Lent focus has three areas to it. Generosity, prayer and devotion, which you're actually reading devotions, reading scripture, and then having times of prayer, and then also the fasting aspect of it. So you do that Monday through Saturday. Sunday, you're off of it all. You come and you celebrate the resurrection of Christ. So Sunday breaks our fast. If you're fasting, it breaks that. So it's a focus on his sacrifice. Because everything we get from the Father through Christ is because of the work of Christ, not your work. And we'll be dealing with that through the Lent season. It's what he has done for us, not what we do. And it becomes a personal search, a personal renewal, a personal revival within us. I have to break things down so that I can understand them a little better. And this is what Lent means to me in simplicity, and maybe it'll help you to understand it as well. It's me allowing the moving the world out of my life and then moving the Spirit and the kingdom into my life. So it's getting out of a worldly pattern or a worldly rhythm, which we're all in. And it's getting into a rhythm of generosity, prayer and devotion, and fasting. It becomes that rhythm. So I'm switching rhythms, if you'll understand that. I'm switching a worldly rhythm for a kingdom rhythm, and you'll be able to see the blessing that comes from that. Matthew 4:1 is the beginning of the story of Jesus going into the wilderness. And I've heard people try to explain this sometimes, and I don't want to be the guy that's right. I knew what they meant. But I really want to give the point to you here that the devil did not lead Jesus into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit did. Okay, I want you to see that. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness and to be tempted by the enemy, by the devil. So I just want you to know the devil doesn't lead Jesus anywhere. Okay, I want you to know that first and foremost. But he's into the wilderness. The wilderness is not a place where you want to take a vacation. Okay, especially there. It's barren land. It's hot. There's no water back in that day. And we'll get to Matthew 5:6 a little deeper here in a moment. Man, a lot of things happened around water, around lakes or around wells, around cisterns, because water is such a precious commodity there. And the picture here is being led to the wilderness is not an easy thing in itself, let alone fasting and sacrificing there. It becomes even more difficult. So I want you to see that the Spirit led him there. And if you enter this season with us, you can do it, you cannot do it, it's totally your choice. I'm gonna really encourage you to do it because it's gonna deepen you, the foundation's gonna be stronger in you, and not only that, you're gonna be having a kingdom and a Holy Spirit rhythm instead of a worldly rhythm, which we all need, all of us need that. But the part I want you to be able to see is the Spirit led him there, and the Spirit's gonna lead you here. And the Holy Spirit led him through this, and the Holy Spirit's going to lead you through it too, okay? And we're going to rely on him to be able to do that. So we're fasting. We're going to be fasting during the weekdays, Monday through Saturday. What do I fast from? Well, some kind of luxury or convenience. About 3 years ago, I fasted from social media, and I've not been on Facebook since. I'm not telling you that's what you need to do. I'm just telling you that's what I did. I've fasted from social media, and then Facebook has left my life. I just want you to know I haven't missed a thing, okay? I haven't missed one thing. You hear me? So the FOMO, just forget it, all right? And if I need to find out, people will let me know is the way I look at it. But my fast from that has extended into my entire life. It's been 3 years. But it's fasting is a luxury or a convenience that you have. And you could say, I'm not going to watch TV after 8, or I'm fasting from caffeine or sugar, or it could be food oriented. It could be a lot of things. That I'm not going to be a part of, but it's not just fasting from something, it's fasting from a luxury or a convenience, okay? It's fasting from that. Then we include prayer and devotion. Find more devotions. If you need help in that, I can help you with that. I have prayers for you to use if you want to be able to do that. I'll help you in that. I'll equip you with that. Then generosity is we're just going to bless people. And when we finish a service, we ask you to bless one person per week. So let me give you a simple illustration here of how one thing can accomplish all three things together. All right? And it'll help you in churning your thoughts and your thinking on what to do. Let's say you fast one meal a day, Monday through Saturday. I know a meal, if you eat out, if you eat in, conveniently, it can be $12, $15. We went to Cane's not too long ago, and I thought I was going to have to take out a loan, And then you're in the drive-thru, and they got you caught. You can't back out, it's chicken. Which are you picking, So, it gets pretty expensive. But let's just call it $12. And let's just do Monday through Friday. So you're fasting a meal, and then the money that you would have spent on that meal, say $12, you got $60. So you can bless somebody with that $60. You can make it $120 or make it $240 for the month and bless somebody with it. So you've accomplished the fast. You've accomplished the generosity. Not only that, take that hour that you would have had lunch and mix it with prayer and devotion. Get you a devotion book and go through it. Listen to Christian music during that time. And so have a time of devotion and have a time of prayer. Do you see how that one thing accomplishes all three things that we're trying to do? And you're creative enough that you can think that way, all right? But then be generous. Find somebody that you can bless, and it doesn't all have to be money, but that is a way that you can see that you can do all three. So just realize that this is time to be spent with the Father. It's the rhythm. We're getting into the rhythm of a life with the Father and His kingdom and how that works. I'm getting out of a worldly rhythm, and then I'm taking it to another rhythm. One of the things I've included in my life already is Christian audible books. And when I've got a moment, when I'm getting ready for church this morning, I put it on the audible book, and I was listening to it, you know, and just catching and letting it feed me. So there's all kinds of things that you can do. So before we get into the giving and the praying and the fasting, which is the sermon of Christ, I want to talk about rewards for just a moment. Let's look at Matthew 6:1 real quickly. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them. Remember, this is a time for you and the Father, okay? It's not a time for you and the public. It's a time for you and the Father. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And so we're going to get into in a moment that He does reward us. And we're going to get into rewards that you need to know that He has. I'm not against rewards. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel here. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you what the Word says, that we have a Father who does reward us. Who doesn't like rewards? Now, I'll be 66 this summer. I'm getting used to asking for senior discounts, and I love them, you know? I had a person tell me the other day, said, you don't look like you should get a senior discount. I said, God bless you, my child. You know, thank you for that. But I don't mind a senior discount. Do you know, in your taxes this year, when you file your taxes, if you're 65, we get an automatic additional $6,000 discount. Now, when you go, hallelujah, I agree. So in that, I'm going, are you going to look at your tax preparer, or if you do them yourself, and go, nah, I'm going to give that back to the government? No, you're going to take it. You know, you're going to, it's a reward for being 65 and older. I'm going to take it. Just recently, the PVA, do you know about the homesteader part of being 65 and your property tax? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, they did, at 65 years of age, they deduct your property tax $49,500. Do you think I'm going to look at that and go, I'm going to give it back to y'all. I'm not going to take it. Man, I took that thing and I skipped like a schoolgirl going out of that office. I just want you to know. You know, am I going to take the reward? Yes. Yes, I'm going to take the reward. I'm going to do that. And the enemy will get in our mind that all we have is a heavenly Father who loves to chastise you. Now, He will discipline us, and all good fathers will. But in that situation, He is also a heavenly Father who loves to reward His children. And He loves it when you tell the world, I'm not living in your rhythm anymore. Amen. And you look at the Father and go, I'm going to start living in your rhythm from here on out. He rewards that. When you, instead of going with the flow like a river, He loves it when you go upstream, you know, and not go with the flow. And this is what we do during Lent, is we get to the picture of knowing that He rewards us. And it's all because of what Christ has done for us that we're even in that. Even in the sight of our Father, our Heavenly Father, who is rewarding us. Leon Morris wrote this. None of us can take a guilty, sinful soul and make it righteous. Only Christ can do that. Only the Lord can do that. His atoning work for us does that. And we remember anything we get from the Father is because of the sacrifice that comes from Christ himself. So I want to go back to Matthew 5, 6 before we get into giving and praying and fasting. And it says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, for they will be filled. Or you may have a version that says satisfied. And the word satisfied here, or filled, is a word that people who had livestock, when their livestock are fatted and they've been fed, that it's a word that means that the livestock they've been fed, they're healthy. And then it's also used, the word filled or satisfied is also used when Jesus feeds the 5,000 with the fish and the loaves. And they gather all of it up and they bring it back and they talk about the people being filled or satisfied. Some of you come to me, and you should, it's okay for you to do that, and you talk about how empty you feel, disconnected you feel, isolated you may feel. And the reason that goes on is because you're trying to drink from a well that doesn't have any water. And that's the world. You're trying to go to the world, you know, the hunger and thirst thing here. You're trying to go to the world and drink from a well that says it's a well, looks like a well, but it has nothing in it. And the more you keep going there, the more empty you feel in your life. And so it's because I'm trying to live in a rhythm that the world is creating for me. And I've got to step out of that and live in a rhythm that the Father wants me to live in. When I live in that world, in that rhythm, I'm filled. I'm satisfied. I will know who He is, and I will know who I am. And I will know it in the right perspective. I will know that. And then I'm able to go on and live in that kind of a rhythm. But the world promises you everything and gives you nothing. It's an empty well. And he said, if you come drink from my life, you'll never thirst again. Amen. So you've got to realize, I've got to quit going to that worldly rhythm and that worldly well. It doesn't do anything for me. And we just keep going, don't we? And then it's empty, empty, empty. Isolated, isolated, isolated. Disconnected, disconnected, disconnected. It just keeps on being that way. So I want you to be able to see that. Now let's get into the three things we're going to be doing in Lent. It starts in verses 2-4. And remember, this is the order Jesus put them in, not me. And this is what he preached. And I want to remind you that this was important enough that he preached this to the people. This was very important. And he said, this is about generosity. Whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets. You don't do it to be seen, to be applauded by people. I assure you, they already have their reward. Verse 3. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. That's between you and the Father. So that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, go ahead and say that line with me. What does it say? Will reward you. Yeah. So he's seeing us live a rhythm of his life, a kingdom life, Heavenly Father rhythm. He's seeing that. And it says that he'll bless that and he'll reward you for that. I want to remind you that in Scripture, many times it talks about the when, not if. One of them I was reminded, do you remember in the Gospels where Jesus is teaching about the house that's built on the rock or it's built on the sand? And in both of those stories, he talks about how that the rains come and the floods come, the storms come. Okay, but if you're not careful, you and I will try to live a life having the Lord dodge us from the storms of life. Like, I'm going to follow Jesus and he's going to guide me around this storm and around that storm. Here's the truth of the gospel. He's not going to dodge the storms in your life. He's going to lead you through every one of them. Okay, So in the teaching, storms come to both the house on the rock and the house on the sand, but only one of them will stand. But he said the storms come. So in James, he says when, not if, trials and tribulations come your way. He doesn't say if they come. He says when they come, because they're going to happen to us. I personally don't believe you'll go through this life without suffering in some capacity. Okay? I don't think you'll escape that. Scripture points to that. So instead of I'm going to follow Jesus and we're going to dodge suffering, we're going to dodge storms, you know, we're going to, it's like playing a video game, you know, we're just going to dodge this and that. And it's not it at all. It's just I know he's going to lead me through them. That's what he's going to do. And I'm going to trust him. But it's the scriptures give us when, not if. And so that continues in this pattern with giving and prayer and fasting. So look at verses 2-4. He's talking about the giving. Verse 2 and verse 3 said, when, not if, you give. Is expected of us to give. I pastored a guy one time who just gave a tried to give this argument that he wasn't going to tithe to the church or give to the church. I said, well, that's your business. And he goes, I pay my taxes and my taxes go to that. I said, nice try. Nice try. Get it? But listen, it's when we're generous. That's who we are. When we're generous. I shared this in the early service. I'll just wait till another time to share this with you. It'll be today. It'll be here in just a few minutes. But it's the when, not if. You know, look at Matthew 6:19-21 as just the perspective that we should have about things. It says, don't collect for yourself treasures on earth where moth, rust, and thieves, all earthly, moth, rust, thieves, earthly, break in and steal. Verse 20, but collect yourselves treasures in heaven where these earthly things can't get. Moths, rust, thieves. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the part I was going to share with you. Early on as a younger man, I didn't want people, I wouldn't let people borrow my stuff. I guess the word would be stingy. You know, I wouldn't let them borrow it. In fact, Ben, we talked about this the other day. If I let you borrow it, you'd tear it up, wouldn't pay for it. And I got to get it back and fix it and get it back in the shape I had. So I just didn't want you to borrow my stuff. I didn't want you to borrow my stuff. And the Lord had to handle that with me, and he did. Because he had to remind me that when I surrender to him, everything I have is his. It's all his. So there's no yours and mine, okay? It's ours. It's his. So here's what I've had to learn, and I'll share it with you in simplicity. Is it okay for you to have things? Yes. Is it okay for things to have you? No. No. You can have things. Just don't let things have you. And I let things have me. And the Lord had to free me of that, which he's able to do. Okay? He's able to do. So when we get to the part of giving, I want to remind you that Jesus teaches this, that when the Father sees your generosity that you do between you and the Father, that he rewards those. Because when we give and we're generous, it's when we look just like him. Just like him. We're getting baby pictures out with our grandson, John, and Miles. You can go ahead and text Andrew, because every time I mention my grandson, Miles texts my son and goes, your dad mentioned John in the sermon today. So go ahead, Miles, and text him. we're getting all these baby pictures, Andrew's, and I think he looks a lot like Julie in her baby picture. But who does he look like? Well, I'm just going, well, he looks like John, you know. We're trying to see who he looks like. And when you and I are generous, you know who we most resemble is our Heavenly Father. You lack wisdom, it says he gives it freely to you. John 3:16, the great verse, for God so loved the world, what's the next two words? He gave. He continually gives. And when we give and we're generous, we best resemble our Heavenly Father. And it's just go and bless other people. That's just it. We'll talk about that a little more. But just know that Jesus knows what he's talking about because he knows the Father and he knows what the Father rewards. And he can say this with great authority, that my Father who sees you in secret, resembling him, being generous, that he will reward you. And you're going, well, when am I going to get it? I don't know. I don't know when you'll get it. Can you get it here? Yeah. Can you get it there? Yeah. Can I get it in both places? Yeah. Absolutely. The reward can be here and there. But I just know that he rewards and it will be just. The second thing we do, that's giving and generosity, that we do during Lent is we pray and have devotion. And that is Matthew 6, 5 through 8. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites because they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by people. I assure you they have their reward. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your private room. Find an isolated place. Shut your door. Pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they're being heard for their many words. Verse 8, don't be like them, because the Father knows the things you need before you ask him. So verses 5 and 6 are when you pray, not if you pray. That's who we are. Not a public spectacle. We're not doing it for attention. It's not flowery words to be impressive. It's between you and the Father. And it's being in his presence. And if you're in the presence of God, the world's going to know it without you saying anything. You're going to go on. Because in the scriptures, it talks about great leaders that he used. And they would be alone with the Lord. And it says the glow of the glory of God was upon them. They knew that they had been in the presence of God himself. So we get to the point where we realize that in this private prayer, your posture, you could be standing or raising your hands, or maybe you need to kneel. The fact of when it says worship in scripture, it has a picture of posture to it, that you are kneeling before him. And you know, maybe we need, it's not gonna hurt us to kneel. Now, joint wise, it might hurt you to kneel, but it's not gonna hurt us in who we are and our humility to be able to kneel and to worship. So this is a way to show your life is in rhythm with the Father. Many of you all have questions about if you know this part, that he knows what you need before you ask him. Here's how you know that you and the Father are in rhythm. Is that if my life is in rhythm with the Father instead of the world, then the revelation of his heart and mine are going to connect. And I'm literally going to know what to pray for according to his will. It's not going to be just throwing out these random prayers of what I want. It's going to be when I'm in rhythm with the Father, I'm going to know that what I'm sensing that I need is according to his will. Romans 12, 2, so that you may know that perfect, acceptable, complete will of God. You don't just know that by taking a stab at it. You know it by living in rhythm. In other words, let me say it this way. Are you close enough, even your own spouse, that if they say something, you could finish the sentence? Are you know them well enough that if they say something and they pause for a moment, you could finish the sentence? It's that I'm in such a rhythm with the Father that I know what I'm sensing is from him. And I then, from what I sense, I know what to pray for, and it will be according to his will. That's how all that matches. It's because it's not this random toss out prayer. It's that I am being impressed by the presence of God that this is what I need to pray for. I remember, I'll say this, didn't say it in the first service, but this has to do with David and Marlene Rowe. And I saw David come to Christ or come back to the Lord as his pastor many years ago. And he was concerned about his wife, Marlene, who is already now in glory with the Lord. And I remember one of these days, I don't claim to be a prophet, but it was one of those prophetic moments. David, having come back to Christ, he said to me, he said, I want us to be praying for Marlene. Well, I'm just going to tell you, it welled up within me. You know, if I've ever been a little bit Pentecostal, I had one of those moments. And I felt the Lord well up in me. And I looked at David and I said, we will baptize Marlene. And he's like, well, I sure hope so. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's more than a hope so. So my point is, I knew then that what was being impressed within me was in agreement with the will of God. And I knew I could say it because the life is in rhythm with one another. Do you see what I'm saying? And we baptized Marlene. She's in glory. We miss her here, but she's certainly welcome there. And it comes to where we're living in that kind of a rhythm that somebody can say something and I know how the Father's going to finish the sentence, you know, because you're in that kind of rhythm. Don't you want to be in that kind of a rhythm? That's not scary to me. Man, that's freedom to me right there. You know, it's not a bit scary or weird. It's just the freedom that is there. And you're able to see that and to know that, that we're in rhythm. Because when you're in rhythm with Him, what you sense you need to pray is going to match what's already desired in the will of the Father. So He sees you in secret, He'll reward you. And remember, Jesus knows the Father. And He has all the authority to be able to say that He will reward you. As you praying during Lent, we're going to add something to it. You're going to love this one. Matthew 6:12. When you pray, start forgiving people. When we forgive them, doesn't mean that justice doesn't need to occur. It doesn't mean we've let them off the hook. It just means we have freed them from us. Okay? And we forgive them. Forgive our debts as we forgive those, our debtors. Miles goes to the next verses. I think it's 14 and 16, I think it is. But if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. Hang on, verse 15 gets just a little bit tougher. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. So you may want to, in your prayer time, just put down the people you need to forgive. They have wronged you. They've cost you money. You've lost money from them. You just may need to write them down. Not for anybody else to see, but start forgiving people when you include this in your prayer. Lastly, and you know the Southern Baptists love this one, fasting. You know we love this one. Matthew 6:16-18. It says, when, not if, ye fast. It's part of our life. Don't be sad faced like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so that their fasting is obvious. It's that, you know, I'm walking around. You want people to go, what's the matter with you? Well, I'm fasting, you know, all that. So I assure you, they've got their reward. Verse 17, but when you fast, adorn yourself. Put oil on your head, wash your face. I don't know if you noticed, but I started combing my hair forward. My wife and Megan have done this because I'm losing hair with my inlets right here. And according to Julie, I've got the biggest forehead in history. I don't know. But so I asked Megan, I said, Megan, I'm not trying to look young. I said, I want to make sure I'm not looking young. So even Chuck calls me Caesar back there. But so I'm not, listen, I grew up with Dippity Doo. Do y'all remember Dippity Doo? Huh? I grew up when you had a flat top, you had Dippity Doo, man. That was the only hairstyling gel we had. So now I've moved to this powder. I've got Styling Gorilla. Have you ever heard of such? And putting a powder in there, you know, and it's just strange for me to do that, but I'm doing it. Put oil on your head. Put Styling Gorilla on your head. You know, wash your face. Adorn yourself. You know, do all that. Make it look like you're not fasting. And so that, verse 17, so that you don't show your fasting to people, but it's to your Father who's in secret that knows you're fasting. And your Father who sees in secret, go ahead and say that line with me. He will reward you. All right, it's between you and the Father. I want to remind you, verse 16 and 17 says, when you fast, not if you fast, that it needs to be a part of my life. You're asking me, is it a part of mine? It is. I don't do it to get rid of the bad cells. I don't do it for intermittent fasting. I usually do it Saturday evening through Sunday afternoon is when I usually do it. I'm in it right now. But the point of it is, I've done that for several years just for this time together. You may need to fast when you're having big, important decisions going on in your life. Why? To just get in rhythm with the Father. Step out of those worldly patterns of grabbing a cookie here and a chip there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or whatever it is, whatever the convenient thing may be for you. And learn to be able to fast. It's between the two of you, you and the Father. It's not for people to see or know or recognize. It's just for him in secret. And Jesus knows the Father, and he has the authority to tell us that. The Father who sees you in secret, he will reward you. He will reward you. All this is about an adjustment in your life, adjustment in my schedule. As we enter this, I mean, really, it should be more than just Wednesday coming up through Easter. It should be more than that. It should be a part of our life. Because I want to work and make sure I'm in rhythm with the Father and the kingdom than I am with the world. And me and you have gotten in such a rhythm of the world, complete rhythm of the world, that it's hard to break out of that. And these are ways to be able to break out of it. So I hope and pray Wednesday you come, okay? Won't be a long service, but it'll be a service where we worship together. We're gonna focus on repentance, how I'm walking away from the Lord. I'm walking away. I do a 180 and I'm walking to the Lord. I don't do a 360. That takes me right back where I was. I'm doing a 180 and I'm walking from him. How do I do that? Well, we see that in Matthew 6, practice generosity. I showed you how to do that. Practice and add your praying and your devotion, and then learn to be able to fast. And in that fast, fill it with the things of God. And I know I know you well enough that you're tired of a worldly pattern. I know that. I see it in you. We get into a Heavenly Father kingdom pattern. And you can do this. But even in fasting, it's going to take prayer to get you through it, okay? And it's meant to. It's meant to, because it's more time with him. I pray today, if you're here, you never surrendered your life to Christ, let it be today. Just come and surrender your life to him. He's been pursuing you. He's been prompting you. Come. You're here, you want to rededicate your life, even for the Lent time. That's really what the service is Wednesday night. Let's just come Wednesday night and let's just rededicate our lives to this. Let's look at this season and take it seriously. And you can do this, not just on your own power, but through the power of the Spirit. Let him to the wilderness. Let him through. He'll lead you through too. He'll do it. You'll make it. You can. And let's commit to that. We're all tired and weary from this worldly pattern and this rhythm. Let's step into the rhythm of the kingdom and our Father. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. You may want to come and people will pray with you, for you, or over you. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come, okay? Church, would you stand? Counselors, find your spot if you will. And then you come, you respond.